We autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The blood is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
All right. Welcome to Factor Theory Live. It's Tuesday. It was supposed to be Conspiracy Factor Theory, but you know what? I may as well just call it Factor Theory Live, second night, Tuesdays at 8, same show, and save Conspiracy Factor Theory for something else. So, I've been on a hell of a ride. I'm not even sure if can anybody tell me if I'm 5x5 in the chat room? Pretty sure I am on Twitch. Don't know if anybody's listening to me in the chat room. They may be listening to the other dude. But there's been interesting developments here in Canada. There was, what was his name? I think it was Peter King. Patrick King. In Alberta, he was at a gathering and he was given a fine of $1,200. For too many people in a gathering. And he went to court and he was going to represent himself. And in that case, the judge had to advocate for him and had to tell him to subpoena the chief medical officer for Alberta and ask her to provide evidence that they had. Oh, I've got it written down here. That they had proved the isolation of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Is there any material evidence, stuff that could be retested and shown on camera to be retested to an unbiased audience? And while he was waiting, I think he was going to be going to court in a couple of days, and then he gets a subpoena from them, and it says that now it's no longer the chief medical officer versus him, it's the queen versus him. So I'm going to do a reshare for my sound here because Skype's just been screwing with me big time. And okay, so the red thing is all around the outer screen, which should be an indication that I'm about to share. So this is Patrick King. Patrick King, he was on Stu Peters TV. And this is the thing I'm trying to do here in Ontario for people from Ontario. You wouldn't believe the musicians and all the people that are laughing at me like I'm stupid for trying this. They're still playing Pandemic. But here's Patrick King. This is what happened to him. And this is what we all need to do. Find out your local laws. If you have to, go about it the way he did. Go to a gathering and dare the police to fine you. Then when you go there, represent yourself and have the judge subpoena the chief medical officer, whoever it is that is in charge of your area, as to whether or not you get to go outside or whether or not you have to wear masks.
100th week of being on the...
Okay, let's put that to the beginning.
Well, we are happy to break news out of Canada that the Daily Mail will not touch. None of the mainstream media is going to touch this. These propagandists are going to hide this from you because this is encouraging to freedom fighters, patriots, who want to take matters into their own hands and stand up against this tyrannical, overreaching system of...
Or to the judge, I said, Your Honor, just for the record, I want it to be... on the record, duly noted, that the Chief Medical Officer Health of Alberta does not have material evidence I request. She says, yes, Mr. King, they did say that. Perfect. I lose the subpoena on Dina Hinshaw. That's okay, because what had happened is a procedural violation. Now, what they've done is the court system actually bamboozled me and sent me in the wrong direction, which is a violation of my rights as a Canadian citizen. I go in on the 24th, and I couldn't believe it. There are attorney general prosecutors from Ottawa in the courtroom. And now my statement says, no longer does it say Dina Hinshaw versus Patrick King. It states the Queen, Her Majesty the Queen versus Patrick King. So now, where's my accuser? If the Queen is my accuser, I get to address my accuser. Well, lo and behold, they find out that everything I did is absolutely phenomenal. They can't believe it. I'll still remember the look on the faces. So I reiterated again, the Chief Medical Officer of Health of Alberta, Ms. Dina Hinshaw, and AHS and the Alberta provincial government do not have the material evidence I request for the isolation of SARS-CoV-2. And when the judge said that, these two stenographers, or a stenographer and a clerk, just went like this.
Yeah.
And their jaws dropped to the floor.
Yeah, they must have looked at the judge like, what, are we supposed to type this?
Yeah.
Do you really want this on the record? I mean, this is amazing stuff. And it's so simple when you think about it. This is so simple. You have essentially taught the world exactly what they need to do to liberate themselves. I mean,
that's right.
But the problem lies in, of course, we're going to have to battle uphill because we have a compromised judiciary, a corrupt judiciary. You have to get before a judge that's actually going to rule impartially.
Yep.
But okay, well, the problem with this, the rest of this, because you got to finish your story. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So what happens now is, and in my closing remarks, I told the judge, I said, to your honor, I said, thank you very much. And I looked at the Crown Prosecutor and I said, thank you very much. And to the attorney generals that decided to come in the room for a $1,200 ticket, I got Ottawa listening now. Thank you to each and every one of you, because you taught me everything I need to know to be the loudest, proactive advocate for everybody across Canada, let alone North America and the world. Because now we know exactly what you guys are doing to us. We have it on record. We have the proof. And you know what? I get these transcripts this afternoon. I wish I would have had them before you called me this morning, because then I would have been able to provide it to you. And hopefully maybe we can do a sequel to this when I have it all. But in the transcripts, I stated, and I know they're shaking in their boots. So when I said, I'm going to start teaching people exactly what they need to do, because we were that close, they got me on what's called a jurisdictional challenge, which the judge advocated for me to subpoena Dina Hinshaw, because she has to. But what she didn't do was tell me the appropriate direction to go to. So I used the justice of the peace who signed the subpoena. Well, it's a judge who needs to sign the subpoena, not a justice of the peace. So they got me on the jurisdictional challenge, but they also violated my rights in doing so. So now there's a process that we're going to go through, and hopefully I can't divulge too much more, but now what I can do is, with all these transcripts to everybody else, and they made a point in my court case, the Rook versus Alberta case, where they've summoned everybody that who had violated any of these COVID rules. They're waiting on the determination of thousands and thousands of tickets and summonses, and the results of those will come. Well, what we did was we laid the foundation for everybody's court case now. So everybody's court case will go exactly the way I am. And what they need to do, and everybody needs to do, is you need to challenge the Public Health Act in your provinces, in your states, in your wherever you are. You file a challenge against these health acts, and that way the judge has no recourse. She has to subpoena the government officials that are responsible for this. So now we're going to get them all on the stand.
I mean, I don't think I just want to make sure that everybody understands the magnitude of this. This isn't about a $1,200 fine or a ticket. This isn't about 1,000 of them. This is about ending COVID. Seriously, the narrative is dead. The virus has never been isolated. It doesn't exist. You can't prove its existence. Therefore, you cannot force me to do anything in the name of something that is non-existent.
That's right. And in the transcripts,
no vaccine, because it's not a vaccine anyways. No mask, no social distance. Limiting the gathering sizes. My kids should be able to return to school. Everybody is hugging again. My small business can reopen now. All of these things. That is the magnitude of this.
It's so empowering to know that we got it on the record, because what they said right after was the science doesn't matter. And in the top of the Alberta Public Health Act, it says, I, Dina Hinshaw, formulate this Public Health Act under the COVID-19 pandemic. That means you would have had to have the proof and the science in order to write that Public Health Act for the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, now, I'm sorry, you messed up. You wrote and said on the record in the court of law that you don't have the material evidence. And when I said that, they said, well, the science doesn't matter. I said, oh, no, the science has to matter. This isn't about your public opinion. This isn't about your personal preference.
That's right.
I don't care who's pulling your strings and telling you have to do this. But you know when they put their name, I, Dina Hinshaw, that was a setup. Because when this goes down, she's going to get the bus. And that's why they do this. Because they knew this whole time that this was never isolated. They know what they're doing. They know what the part of this scheme is. And I don't know the background of your show, how far I can go into this. But it all comes down to the result of this one world organization that wants to make sure that they have power over everybody across the globe.
Complete.
So they're unfortunately attempting to bankrupt our country under the guise of a false pandemic.
That's right.
And everybody's just following along like a sheep. You have no to the viewers, the implications of this and the repercussions of what are going to happen from this are absolutely devastating. The world, you know it right now, will not exist. And that is what they're attempting to do. We are attempting to stop this under professional literature and professional presentations. When we do this, I'm just an average Joe, but I do know enough that I know there's something wrong. And if I don't do something, who am I? What does that make me? Just stand back and let it happen.
Especially being the father of two kids that you would lay down on railroad tracks without even thinking.
There's something else to that too.
Yeah.
My oldest son, who's 17 years old, got the vax. He's double vaxxed. And it killed me. And I tried to fight him on it. And I tried to just wait. I got them in court. Now, if my son goes down, you ain't going to see me in court of law. You're going to see me on the streets with every other parent, with every other loved one, with every other person out there. And we're going to start to make this shake. We're going to shake the house, because they are about to take all our families away. They've already taken our livelihoods. They've already taken our rights away. They're trying to censor everything that we say. Believe it or not, Stu, I would have to say I'm one of, if not the most censored Canadian out there right now. I cannot have Facebook. I cannot even use Google. They're not giving me any ways or any means to get my information out to people. They're blocking me in every single way. And when they start doing that, you know you're onto them. You know you're doing you're doing the right thing. So with my son being vaxxed, I get it. He's got an opportunity to go to Tokyo for university, to Aerospace Engineering University. He's a smart kid. So I get why he did it. But there are millions of kids out there. There are millions of adults out there that are under the same guise that they needed to get this because it was, you know, in order to travel. That is absolute false. And everything that they're trying to put in, look at Australia. There's police officers attacking people on the streets and sticking needles in their arms.
Yeah.
There's military presence going to communities. I highly recommend that everybody out there start following what's going on, because it's in every country, this is going to start to happen. And it's the end game. And unfortunately, we're a little bit behind the eight ball right now, but we're still moving in the right direction. And I know what we're doing is about to blow up. Now you've got Alberta saying no mask mandates. Now you've got them retracting everything they said. Kids are going to school with no masks on, all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. They pulled the pin, but we've already said it. And it's, we will get them, and then they will make it look like it's their idea.
I got to leave it right there. I'm running up against a hard break. But Patrick King, man, absolutely incredible stuff. When you get those documents that you want released together, we are not the mainstream media, but our audience is much bigger than theirs. They hate that, by the way. Ranked number 3, by the way, in America, this little Stu Peters show that the mainstream media loves to hate. We will post all of those documents at stupeters.tv. Fighting back is what it's all about. You have done that. And speaking of which, here in the United States, I have received so many countless emails. Hey, my job is going to make me get this thing. They're threatening to fire me, all of this stuff. Guess what? That is not legal for them to do. America's Frontline Doctors legal director is up next on the Stu Peters Show. Go nowhere. Ellie Schultz is standing by. She's a lawyer and she is a humanitarian.
All right. So that was a Stu Peters Show, and that was Patrick King. Let me get back to the beginning here. Of course, I'm not putting up his name. There it is. Patrick King. And he woke up to, he's not woke. He woke up to what's going on. He found a loophole and he's trying to share it. So I suggest that everybody, kids, like, I can try. I can say I'm going to, and I am going to, but I'm getting runarounds. I'm going to play right now a clip from earlier today. I called a place. You're supposed to get 30 minutes of free advice from a lawyer, and I only recorded the last few minutes of this conversation. I wish I had recorded the whole thing, but the guy was jacking me around for like the 13 minutes, and it's like, well, I wouldn't be able to give you an answer and tell you everything you need to do in 30 minutes, so I'm afraid I can't help you. And I look at the clock. It's like, we're only 13 minutes into this phone call. I want you to tell me what part of the courthouse do I go to and what do I ask for to start the ball rolling for this. And it was like pulling teeth from the guy. And then he found out I was recording and he started getting ornery. And then at the end, he tries to say he didn't want me playing it. I'm not saying his name. It's a free service for Canada, for Canadians to call to get legal help. He was telling me, oh, you're going to have to spend a lot of money. And so, no, you know, I need you to tell me this. So here's that conversation.
That's how you would start a lawsuit against anybody, be it the government, be it like another person, your neighbor, your employer, whoever. That's generally how you start that. Now, like, again, like, because... And I think you'll understand this, like, you're saying that there's very broadly encompassed issues that you're bringing up with the province, with the federal government, and so there isn't one like specific kind of avenue that's going to address all of these things on one go. And I mean, I will like tell you right now.
Okay, now the guy had asked me. I told him what I wanted to do. He asked me, "What is it you want to do?" And then, because I said, I need to know how to get started. And he's like, tell me what you want to do and I'll tell you to get started. So I told him the ultimate outcome, the steps I want to take. And I just needed how to start step one. And then he started this little spiel acting like he's going to school me. Oh, well, like I said before, and he didn't say nothing. But anyway, back to it.
Now, like, that is also presumably going to be very, very expensive as well, because...
Well, no, if the government is doing this, there is somewhere it says that I have a right to go to court without being charged for it. See, these are the criminals in government are committing fraud against the people. They should be the ones paying for it. If they can have the government pay for their court cases, they can pay for mine too. This gentleman in Hamilton, in Alberta, had it done without a whole bunch of stuff. It was just, so I okay, then I want to sue just for that health act, the public health act, whoever put it in place. I want proof that this thing exists. If it doesn't exist, then everything has to be taken down, period, the way they're doing it in Alberta. This guy didn't have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops.
Well, I mean, again, like, I can't really speak to the nature of what happened in Alberta. I'll tell you, like...
It's this guy trying to pretend that he doesn't know what happened about the case. It's huge.
You do have to keep in mind, though, that generally they have... the legal system in Alberta is going to be similar to ours, but it is possible that they have different kinds of proceedings. Plus, you have to take...
Now, like Stanton Friedman used to say, you try not to lie, but you be evasive. That's what this guy's doing to me.
To account that you're telling me that Mr. King was already involved in a claim because he was already fined $1,200. So a legal proceeding was already ongoing in his case. You're talking about, and he was already in the context of a specific kind of legal proceeding. You're talking about starting a legal proceeding on your behalf based on the Public Health Act or the federal government, no, the provincial government, different provincial mandates. So those are different things. So in that scenario, then you're the one that has to decide what you want to start. And in terms of your cause, yeah, the government, like when you start a lawsuit, generally speaking, you get reimbursed your costs if you win. But while you're commencing litigation, you can start your litigation, but you also are responsible for your cause to carry you on litigation, so to pay your lawyers.
That's if I even need lawyers, because I could get myself a paralegal, or I could actually look up the specific statutes and things that I need to know. Yeah. What I need to know right now is just so you know that this whole conversation is being recorded for my radio show as well.
I'm sorry. Okay. Well. Like, I'll stop you right there just because, just so you know, when we speak to you, like, that is confidential.
Well, I need to know, I've been asking you for 20 minutes now, what paper do I need to ask for to file to challenge the Public Health Act? That's the very first thing I need to do. I need to challenge that legally and have it tossed out. Because the emergency order was up in June 9th. The FDA only approved these vaccinations for emergency use only. So what the emergency order is gone. What they're doing now they're brainwashing people into thinking they need to keep taking these things, even though they don't. They're using the press to push you on us. So I need to do this to challenge the Public Health Act, and then I can start some cease and desist stuff for all the businesses and everybody else who is propagating this propaganda.
Right. Well, look, I understand what you're saying. I will tell you that, you know, in the context of a 30-minute phone call, it's not really possible for a lawyer to tell you specifically what to do. So really, if you wanted an answer, that's your answer. Unfortunately, that's how it works. Like, generally, it would take a lot more effort than that to do it. So I guess that's the answer at this time. I don't really have an answer for you. So,
well, we're only 13 minutes and 45 seconds into this, and all I want to know is, what is the name of the form? If I want to file a challenge against the Health Act, what do I do? It should be pretty easy for you to say, well, you would go to the courthouse, to this part of the courthouse, whether not family court, obviously, but I go to criminal. You would tell me what part of the courthouse I go to and what form I ask for. That's all I want from you. And you're trying to tell me in a 30-minute phone call you can't give me that, and we're only 13, 14 minutes into the phone call?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you, and I'm also telling you that I'm not agreeing to give you legal advice on a recorded conversation when you didn't specifically tell me at the beginning of this phone call that you were recording.
Well, you know what? I honestly don't care. So what is...
I'm not comfortable with being recorded.
Why is that? Because you're giving me bad information?
Because what?
Is it because you're giving me bad information or because you've... I'm recording this mainly so I can remember what it is I'm supposed to ask for and stuff. I really didn't expect to spend this much time having someone tell me, well, there's nothing I can tell you, nothing I can do, nothing you can do. Like, oh, it's going to cost you money, money, money. Well, I just want to file a challenge against the Public Health Act. It should be easy for you to tell me what to do. Now, this is supposed to be the site that you... I got through to. This is supposed to be for it's like a pro bono thing for Canadians to help point us in the right direction. How am I supposed to get pointed in the right direction if you won't tell me how I'm supposed to take down the criminals in office? Well, I can't do that in 30 minutes. Yes, you can, because I'm only asking for one fraction of it. I just need to know what part of the courthouse, like the courthouse here in St. Catharines, which desk would I go to? What form do I ask for? Just to start a little challenge against a Public Health Act.
Well, Mr. Crawford, like I've already told you, if you want to file a claim in provincial courts, you go and you get a statement of claim ready, and then you can ask the court what form.
Now, he had not told me to file a statement of claim, because I would have stopped and said, okay, a statement of claim. Now, that's what I'm supposed to ask for. I need a statement of claim, and then I fill it out. And we would have, it would have been, you know, okay, thank you for the phone call. But this guy goes into all this stuff. It's just nuts.
They require for you to file a statement of claim.
Okay, where do I get this statement of court claim from? Sorry?
You have to, like, when you start a claim, you go and you file a statement of claim with the court. And that's how you start a claim. That's a very general way of explaining how a court, like a claim in provincial court starts.
Okay.
It is not necessarily, and like what I'm telling you is that it's not necessarily specific to exactly what you want to do.
Right.
And so that's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you I can give you some very general advice about how to begin. Like,
that's really all I'm asking. Yeah. That's really exactly all I'm asking. Okay, so what is it called again? Statement of claim I go to?
You have to file a statement of claim.
File a statement of claim. Okay. And now, would that basically be the front desks when you walk into the courthouse doors?
I'm sorry?
Would that basically be the front desks when you walk in the courthouse doors?
Well, there's generally a register and that works at the court that would be able to provide you that information. And the courts also have online services where you can file a statement of claim online. If you wish to begin a claim.
Okay. A statement of claim can be filed online. Okay.
Okay.
You should take a look, though, at that court, that case I'm telling you about, Patrick King. This guy's going to end up being a Canadian hero. Whoever's backing all this fake crap with these masks that they're using us to force us to take vaccines that aren't even legally vaccines, this is like some horror movie crap. This is B-movie shit that the government, our government, both federal and provincial, are trying to get away with. And for some reason, the medical profession and the doctors are all backing them. And so anybody liberal, anybody who's supposed to care about people, wants us to inject ourselves with poison. It's insane. The World Health Organization started making cartoons that showed that these vaccines have always been tested on people, have never been tested on animals. They're trying to rewrite history. This is diabolical, you know? So that's why if this, getting a file statement of claim, now what that statement of claim, do you have any idea of, like, that should probably have a section where I get into more detail about exactly what I want to do, right?
Well, Mr. Crawford, so the way a statement of claim works is how you simply write what your claim is about. So that's exactly what you're saying. You just write what your claim is about and what you think you have a cause of action.
Okay.
And you file it with the court. Like, so the statement of claim is where you write it, and there's a form of the court that you simply file to say who the parties are and what you're seeking, and then you attach your statement of claim. Again, I'm giving you very general advice that it's simply how a claim begins in Ontario. It is possible that what you want to do should be carried out in a different manner, but again, it's difficult to say that on like a very specific level.
Right. Yeah. Well, I realize you can't be, especially in 30 minutes, lay out an entire case for me. I just need to know how to get the ball rolling. And then from there, I can figure out more, because I do realize I need to get back into Royal Maritime Admiralty law, cemetery law, rule of law, all that stuff. I got to get back into it. I had to use it to be able to keep my daughter in my life through family court. So now, obviously, I'm going to have to use that to try to save my daughter's life from politicians. But anyway, yeah, what you just told me is basically what I've been asking. What is it I ask for, and where do I go to get it? That's all I've been trying to get from people for days. And people most of the time wouldn't even – I was shocked you called me back. I would leave a message saying what I want to do, and people just won't even get back to me.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Okay, so I will, yeah. So I don't know if that's all the questions that you have for me at this time. I think that's good. So
yeah, that's pretty much all I needed to know for right now. Yeah.
I understand that you say you're recording this conversation. I would have liked to have known that from the beginning. I appreciate it if you don't play recordings that I didn't consent to on your radio show. So I would hope that you can understand that.
Actually, I cannot. You know, this is stuff people need to know, so I am going to be playing it. You're welcome to try to sue me if you like.
Okay. Well, have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, so now I'm expecting any day now to get a cease and desist from this guy. But I didn't put his name on air, right? You know, I could have. But you know, he was doing a little dicking around, and they've probably been told. They were probably warned, because this guy's case, Patrick King, was a few days ago. Or maybe even a little longer. He just finally was able to speak out about it, and they're finally acting on it in Alberta. So for me to try to just get the ball rolling, he even said, I may have to go about it a different way, and he's right. I may have to plan, I may need to find some like-minded individuals who are willing to get together in a group of 20 or more, have a little outdoor party, and I can be the one that's closest to the cops, and I'll egg them on and say, go ahead and arrest me. Go ahead and find me. I may have to do it that way. I may have to be fined the way that guy was. And if that, you know what, so be it. They don't have a leg to stand on. They don't. They have to fabricate evidence, and I'll be all over that shit. Okay, what else? I had some stuff written down. I was going to be doing a bunch of other stuff, but actually, you know what? I'm going to go to something funny, because we got enough time to do this. This, a while back, I had, there's this site, you got to go to it, Bad Lip Reading on YouTube. And actually, I'm going to share this in the chat room, because I'm going to play this. This site, they take like movies, TV shows, presidential debates, and they make up words that match the movements of the mouths of what's going on. And it's friggin' hilarious. Sometimes it's boring. Most of the time it's friggin' hilarious. And so I've shared it here. I'm going to put it in the Twitch chat room. That's twitch.tv, Factor Theory Live, for anybody listening on one of the other platforms. I doubt anybody's listening. I know I've been up and down on what I want to do this night, this time slot, or as to whether or not I even wanted to have it. I was having so many problems with the computers. But this – oh, yeah, okay, I got to share it in – the Twitch chat room as well, if it'll let me. No, it won't let me. Okay, but go to Bad Lip Reading. They're going to see it on here anyway. Bad Lip Reading on YouTube. And I just giggled my ass off the first time I saw this stuff. I know I seen it years ago, but I haven't been able to find it. I was thinking about it around the time I started this show, and I couldn't remember what it was called, and it just popped up, and here we go. This is Bad Lip Reading of the first presidential debate of 2020 with Trump and Biden. It's friggin' genius.
Left, right, debate night. And, like, guess we're back? So we live right now?
Yep.
Such fun.
Now, the first question is, where should I put it?
In the trunk.
I'd stick it in the lasagna. Or, okay.
Joe, you like my hand puppet Binky? Joe doesn't know how to do this kind of stuff, does he?
Is this something that you have to do right now?
Doop. Right into your soft navel. Hey, look at me, Bojangles.
President Trump, do you need to hold Papa's hand? Will someone answer the phone? The phone? Get the phone? What? There's no phone that's ringing. No, right there, the ringing.
I don't hear any ringing.
Oh, boy. What do I do? Oh, no. Are you embarrassed? I'm mortified. Yep.
Chris, I would like to use the C word. Caring.
Butt chunks. Caring, really?
What'd you think I'd say? I don't feel that safe with a lot of people.
Butt chunks. I hope someone has an EpiPen because I'm frighteningly allergic to corn. Oh, wait a minute then. Now we buy the corn.
Who sent
the
you?
The corn.
Who
now,
sent
wait, you? Guys. Hey, you know what that sound means?
Five favorites.
Cinco favoritos.
And President Trump, you're up first.
Just go.
Your favorite nickname for yourself?
Cougar Heart.
Your favorite bill?
The gas bill, I'd say.
Your favorite animal sound?
Bzz.
Your favorite scent to smell in a lover?
Ashtray.
Your favorite place to meet ex-circus performers?
Clown shed.
Oh, great. Vice President Biden, your turn now. Your favorite shape?
Stick.
Your favorite movie?
Showgirls.
Your favorite body part?
Nostrils.
Your favorite meat?
Penguin.
And your favorite form of arthritis?
I think gout.
That is correct.
Five favorites.
Cinco favoritos.
Good job. That wasn't bad.
You know, in the 90s, he called the pagers stupid pagers.
Yeah,
and he
did.
Said
I said
the time.
That.
He said stupid
they're
pagers.
Just not
he
good.
Said that. I would never say that because someone could hear. They were simple.
One whiskey.
Chris, you think you'll find a moose in a grove of wheat? Well, that just depends on whether his horns are horns. See, it's all about the horns. Now, some people have horns for humans, you see, and they usually slip on down into Sinbad's hole, that toxic sewer, and nobody should be in there.
Okay, so for those who aren't seeing the video, this dude's lips are, Biden's lips are matching up with everything being said here. That's why this is friggin' funny. That's why I'm playing it. And that's why you got to go to twitch.tv, Factor Theory Live, and watch this stuff. Or go to YouTube and check it out. Okay, back to it.
You know, except for the horrifying bleach bird.
Oh, you don't say.
Oh, but today we're going to make a pig roll in a pumpkin down in Brazil.
You know what? For most Brazilians, frogs have to go in the breakfast cereal.
Wait, block your face.
I think toads a lot better, though.
Now, see, I'm not going to assume any facts about what's popping in Brazil.
Spoiler, Dad, they eat frogs, okay?
Hey, guys, sorry to make it about me, but my youngest nephew, Kevin, told me I found some really good frosting.
It's icing.
No, it's frosting.
If you call icing frosting, you should beat yourself.
Trust me, I am.
Yeah, I'd like your flesh everywhere.
Oh, no.
You're worse than 300 itchy sweaters.
Howdy, folks.
Hey, I'll hit your dead eyes 40 times.
No, sir, you would never.
Yo, I don't even know those people who snowboard and go off and have a big day.
You okay, man?
Why are you so psycho? Whoa, whoa, stop it.
So you agree that he should stop, then?
No, both of you, okay?
Yeah, you cow.
So I'm fat?
No, you're not fat. You see, I was only described.
You bruised my big old body today with that sinner's mouth.
I mean, I was
with all of
really
his spiritless energy. Hey, I will go topless.
Mine sounded kind of wrong because I bruised my head.
I think it's kinky.
Because I rode on the sea serpent.
It's kind of hard to believe you're the hopes of the village.
Chris, if you cooked, I probably wouldn't chew anything. I would just spit it. Because I...
Hey, pork chops, what are you looking at?
Sorry, I just remembered my dream from last night. There were these little tiny meat people who are my favorite friends, though I admit they were real oily. And they were like, good job, Papa. And then what happened was they brought home the little baby And the little crumpet came for me and drew its pitchfork.
I could do that.
Chris, am I pointing at me right now? I am not super great at pointing.
You're pointing at you.
I'm not trying to point at me right now. A blank form is to where I point. It's real hot and veiny and kind of provoly. It's real hot and provoly.
It's what? Yeah, okay.
Chris, one day he came up and burped behind me and then blew it.
That wasn't burping.
Noses. He blew it.
It wasn't burping. That was the wind that shoots off in a sexier way.
No.
You get it?
I do. I do get it.
It's time to act.
It's time for the most important part of the night. Okay, we'll give you various situations and scenarios, and then you both act them out.
Get it.
Okay.
Going first, we've got Papa Pizza Johan. You question what your wife bought you for your birthday.
I have to own a spider tank?
You're more upset than that.
I have to own a spider tank.
You spot your neighbor, a Proctoflecticus Blubberman.
Well, hey, Blubberman.
A man who thinks his candy is alive.
Hey, I have these gummies, and all these gummies have brain.
A romantic movie scene with Harry Styles.
Wait, Harry. Your worst possession, what you have in your pocket, is my heart. And sweetie, I would like you to put it back.
A homicide detective just learning that all of the victims' stomachs contain words that have been cut out of magazines.
Now that's weird. I think these were people that were on a paper diet.
You send your baked potato back to the kitchen.
It needs more nutmeg.
Your favorite Sesame Street character is going through a rough time during the holidays.
Big Bird cried in my stuffing.
Sadder.
Big Bird cried in my stuffing.
Nice. You don't want anyone to know it was you.
Guys, I think it was a dog who farted.
You cut tiny strips of paper to accent the miniatures in your dollhouse.
Now I have scraps that'll fit in the little typewriter.
Right after watching the movie Babe, your girlfriend asked what you want for lunch.
Well, not a hot dog. I'll never touch it again. I'm done with that.
You're a cop who just caught his partner trying to steal diamonds from the evidence room.
DeSanto, the ice. You gotta leave the ice, Tony.
The diamonds are fake.
They're not even actual.
Oh, wait, no, they're not.
Well, now that I've had a cream soda.
Oh, Tony's upset.
Tony, it's okay. It's all right.
He picks up a crossbow.
Tony, don't do it. Put it away. Dear Tony, no.
And scene. Wow. VPB, the emotion was gripping.
Are you running out of vein juice?
DeSanto is. Well,
Now, President Trump, it's your turn to go. A young man is having trouble making friends and asks you for advice.
Well, Angelo, maybe it's your face. It's already gotten to me.
You find a zit while you're taking a shower.
There's a pimple upon my birthday suit.
You let Melania know you're in the mood.
Hey, the pee-pee is tingly.
You make fun of Farmer Doug and his eccentric wife.
What are you, farmer people? Farmer people? Look at your big old mustache, and you must be Aunt Petunia.
You complain to the flight attendant.
Why is there no pizza on this plane?
He offers you toast.
I don't like toast.
Why not?
Because it's just a habit, I think.
You try to start trouble between a ferret and a frog.
Hey, ferret. That frog hates to hear you sneeze, by the way.
Your hiking buddy suffers a terrible injury and you're miles from any help.
Best to glue on the peen.
You don't have any glue.
Now put the peen in a purse. I'll offer you a chocolate milk. Hey, you got a parasite.
You're a hairdresser, touching the back of a client's head while she stares in the mirror.
I like it.
She asked you to take off her mask.
Let me ask you, dear, why?
You describe the zoo to a young child.
The zoo, it's just a gross park.
As you walk out of Trump Tower, a homeless man asks you for spare change.
A prince of poverty.
You decide to go on a diet.
Yes, Beverly, could you give me a rice cake?
The powerful monarch tells you she's not interested in dating you.
Oh, wait, Empress, I have a Greek body.
She needs more convincing.
Just let me be your emperor. Baby, you want that too for the people. You want that too for them, right?
Hey, not too bad, actually.
Yeah, I know.
I bought these tiny beans. They're supposed to make new flowers. But they're kind of dumb because
because, you know, I've got a Mustang that was used in a promotion. Yeah, well, I got an Italian
rapper's car. See, I think I'm going to poop in it as I've never pooped
before.
See,
I've been sponging on my fish hooks.
Kill me.
But why are you so cranky?
Why have you been ignoring the world, you robot?
Because I'm over it.
What?
It looks so sad.
You know, if these arms were wings, I'd fly away.
Look, people on fire need help, and people not on fire can lend a help.
Why do you and everyone else think with their feelings?
Man, you're a bronze goblin. You're a busted scooter at the dump.
No. You're so old, you always smell like musty bean water, like bean cups or something.
Vote for Joe Biden, not a maggot.
You got dandruff.
You're a dirty cow sack.
Yeah, well, you'll flee from me.
You should bite a sword.
You know what, guys? I just sort of imagined that I put my head inside of a stove.
Left, right, stupid knife. Every day I worry all day about what's waiting in the bushes of love.
I'd go to the moon in a nanosecond. The problem is we don't have the technology to do that anymore. We used to, but we destroyed that technology, and it's a painful process to build it back again. But going to Mars should be one of the next series of steps that humans do. The first step should be going back to the moon for a number of technical reasons and exploration reasons, and then after that, Mars, maybe a high orbit in Venus atmosphere, maybe going to Europa. There's all kinds of targets to go to, places of interest in our solar system. The only limit to human future is in our own imagination.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back! You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us!
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hi! I'm praying that the world changes soon. Can get a doobie on a plane, but there's Uzis in our schools. Every dude who touched a boob or a booty getting me tooed. What you expect from the kids who went to Hooters after school? We're all triggered and defensive. We're all racist and we're sexist. We all grew up watching South Park. How are we offended? Now, being fat is beautiful. Name a thing that you can't do. Jumping jacks, run a mile, live past 42. Man, it used to be cooler to slip a bird to the system. And now it's trendy to be triggered and pretend you're a victim. It's my race, it's my weight, it's because I'm a Christian. I hate the internet and anyone who has an opinion. And everybody angry if you say white. Okay, fine. Pass me the brush and I'll paint my face to the shades right. Let's talk about abortion. Sorry, tell me how this works. Bacteria is life on Mars, but a heartbeat isn't life on Earth. Weird.
Y'all so stupid. Why are y'all so stupid?
Get better problems. I swear to God that y'all want them. Y'all so dumb.
People so stupid. People so dumb. People so boo-hoo. Wah, wah, wah.
Get better issues. We're gonna run out of tissues. It's so dumb.
I'm a hater because I can't relate to gay pride. Call me homophobic because I don't want to date guys.
All right, just stopping it for a second for copyright purposes. This dude, can he put it any more succinctly? I'm homophobic if I don't want to date guys. I mean, come on.
Bacteria is life on Mars, but a heartbeat isn't life on Earth? Weird. Facts. Okay, back to it.
Stay tight. I, for one, am not surprised the world declined along the way. Give trophies to children for losing just because they decide to play. We exercise our right to vote and hate the politicians. Hey, this is a democracy. It's partly your decision. Hey, this is weird. Feels like this a different year. If I identify as a female, then will my balls and penis disappear? Children want a gender switch and hating men is feminist. Depression and anxiety are trendy. We're too sensitive. Invented 80 genders. Mad the world is not accepting it. Then gave them more attention than normal women and men can get. What a contradiction. Being human is so tragic. Focus on minorities, ignoring all the masses. Hallelujah, everyone. Activism saved the planet. No more plastic straws and paper, just paper straws wrapped in plastic. Congratulations.
Y'all so stupid. Why are y'all so stupid?
Get better problems. I swear to God that y'all want them. Y'all so dumb.
People so stupid. People so dumb. People so boo-hoo. Wah, wah, wah.
Get better issues. We're gonna run out of tissues. It's so dumb.
Look, I get it. It's like the world is going crazy. Seems like a school shooting happens almost daily. The racism, rape culture, hatred that we're facing is way too ingrained for our hashtags to change it. We've become so lazy and complacent, afraid of our generation. We think activism's Instagramming memes and complaining. It's a problem when there's actually actions you could be taking, but you're triggered, so you just cry like a baby.
Y'all so stupid. Why are y'all so stupid?
Better problems, I swear to God that y'all want them, y'all so dumb.
People so stupid, people so dumb. People so boo-hoo, wah, wah, wah.
Get better issues, we're gonna run out of tissues, it's so dumb.
By Nova Rockefeller. And you can go to hangovergang.com or I am Tom McDonald on Twitter. The hangovergang.com is his site to buy merch. You can go to NovaRockefeller.com to get some of her stuff. They're both on Instagram, farting, brain farting on that. Still on Facebook as well. So good for you guys. He's dropping a new song Friday morning. He's already put a screenshot up of it. They have him looking fat. Looks kind of funny. I'm more interested in the lyrics themselves. Hopefully it's going to be cool. Let's see. First council of this side. Yeah, I don't think I want to get into that one. But Tucker, this is a great clip from Tucker Carlson. It's a weird beep there. Okay, anyway, a clip from Tucker Carlson about Barack Obama's birthday.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson tonight. Happy Monday. You thought you had a great weekend. Did you see what Barack Obama did? It was way more fun than anything that happened at your house on Saturday night. For his 60th birthday, Barack Obama threw himself a party at his estate on Martha's Vineyard, right off the coast of Massachusetts. Now, Obama's place is on the ocean, naturally, but unlike your oceanfront property in, say, Destin, Obama's property has been declared eternally exempt from the devastating rise in sea levels that will inevitably accompany the existential crisis of climate change, which, by the way, you caused. So no matter what happens to the global climate, Obama will be safe on Martha's Vineyard, even if you continue to eat steak and use air conditioning, both of which will soon be banned. Ever sensitive to the feelings of his subjects, Obama did his best to downplay the size and the opulence of Saturday's event. His PR team did not mention the hundreds of servants who would be there. The party, they assured us, would be nothing at all like something King Farouk might have hosted in his later years. No resemblance. Barack Obama's party was merely an intimate gathering of, quote, family and friends. And in the end, that's exactly what it was. The thing is, as you can see from the photographs, Barack Obama has an awful lot of very close friends. What's interesting is who they are and who they're not. Joe Biden was not at the party. And that's weird, considering that Joe Biden and Barack Obama are like brothers, as close as two straight men can be, as Joe Biden has told us himself many times. Though if you've been watching carefully through the years, you may have noticed that Barack Obama has never made that claim. He's never said a lot about liking Joe Biden. Now we know he doesn't. So who does Barack Obama like? Well, in a word, celebrities. Obama likes celebrities, lots and lots of celebrities. It was like the red carpet scene outside a lesser awards show on Saturday night. There was Oprah and Jay-Z, Gayle King, Tom Hanks, George Clooney. as well as a whole bunch of other people who you wouldn't recognize if you're over 30 and don't live on social media. There are a ton of them. And it was kind of a surprise to see it, because Barack Obama is a genius. And we know that we can be certain of it because we have heard that claimed as fact for almost 15 years now. And yet we now know that when Barack Obama relaxes at his own house, it's not with intellectuals or even with people who can read books. It's with the kids he watches on TikTok. Obama passes around some high fives, throws on a pair of beige slip-on shoes and the world's only gray Hawaiian shirt, and hits the dance floor. It's party time. But wait a second, you ask. A gray Hawaiian shirt? Is that even legal? When you're Barack Obama, it is. The normal rules don't apply to you. Remember that this is the man whose staff referred to him as Black Jesus, totally without sarcasm. So when you're parting the waters and healing the sick, you don't get too hung up on the usual fashion regulations, or for that matter, on public health regulations. There's a global pandemic out there. You may have heard about it. And it's getting worse. The CDC tells us that the so-called Delta variant is so dangerous that we can no longer have civil liberties in America. Private property rights have been suspended. Happened last week. Our children must wear masks at school again. We should not be allowed to go to dinner, fly on airplanes, have a job without first displaying our new vaccine passports. And Barack Obama supports all of that. He's for all the restrictions. But that does not mean he wants to live under those restrictions. So on Saturday, Obama's guests did not have to show their papers to get into the party. Unlike CNN employees, they didn't have to prove they were vaccinated. Unlike your kids, they didn't have to wear masks. It was like 2019 at Barack Obama's house. Like the whole pandemic thing never happened. The question is, does Tony Fauci know this? And if so, is he okay with it? That's a pressing public health question. So today we called Tony Fauci to find out. Unfortunately, he was not free to do the show. He was too busy. He's a scientist. He's not into publicity. He was tied up doing another photo shoot for Teen Vogue, so he can't come. Our loss. So to determine what the new rules are, we're just going to have to go with Tony Fauci's previous statements. And here's what we learned. When large groups of maskless people without vaccine passports gather in one place, it is a grave danger to America, but only when those people ride Harley Davidsons. On Sunday, Fauci once again scolded bikers who were gathering for their annual event in Sturgis, South Dakota. Now, these people are dangerous, Tony Fauci told us. Some of them went to community college, literally, and there are some who didn't go at all. You should be worried. It's pretty much exactly what he told us last year about the Sturgis rally, that many would die. So we checked, because numbers are important on a news show, did that happen? Whatever happened to last year's Sturgis? Well, it turned out almost 500,000 people went, about 450,000. In the end, fewer than 0.1% of them got COVID. So no, millions did not die. Actually, it was fine. But Tony Fauci did not change his guidance. He's not deterred by his own bigotry and stupid predictions, you may have noticed. So here he was the other day warning us once again about the perils of Sturgis.
Well, I'm very concerned, Chuck, that we're going to see another surge related to that rally. I mean, to me, it's understandable that people want to do the kinds of things they want to do. They want their freedom to do that. But there comes a time when you're dealing with a public health crisis that could involve you, your family, and everyone else, that something supersedes that need to do exactly what you want to do.
Well, I'm very concerned, Chuck.
Bohicka. So as Tony Fauci just explained, given how dangerous to public health those bikers at Sturgis are, you've got to wonder what the risk the rest of us face might be from Barack Obama's Martha's Vineyard birthday party. Here you have hundreds of people indoors without masks who haven't proven their vaccination status. And if the numbers tell us anything, quite a few of them were not vaccinated. Is that acceptable or not? Sincerely, that's an urgent public health question, the kind you'd think Tony Fauci exists to answer as the highest paid public sector employee. But he didn't answer the question, and as we told you, we tried, and he won't answer it. So as an epidemiological matter, where do you think Barack Obama got the idea that it's a good idea to hold huge indoor events with people who haven't proven they've gotten the shot and aren't wearing masks? How could he have determined that? Well, maybe he watched his friend Muriel Bowser, who's the mayor of D.C. She just did the very same thing. Bowser, you'll recall, forced a new mask mandate on her city, but she delayed it within hours just long enough to hold a birthday party for herself. And that's fine. It's cool. It's not like she rides a Harley. She's a Democratic office holder. Now, if you still believe in science and are becoming slightly confused by this public health guidance, you didn't watch CNN this weekend because they laid it out in the clearest possible terms. Listen to this reporter from the New York Times explain why Barack Obama and his friends from TikTok can have maskless parties indoors without vaccine passports at the very same moment you were not allowed to visit your dying parents in the hospital. It's not arbitrary. It's not capricious. There's a reason, a medical reason. Watch.
Other people said, you know, this is really being overblown. They're following all the safety precautions. People are going to sporting events that are bigger than this. This is going to be safe. This is a sophisticated, vaccinated crowd.
Okay. Now we're talking science. So when it happens at Barack Obama's 12, by the way, that was the purchase price. We're talking over $20 million house on the ocean that's immune from climate change. When it happens there, it's not a problem. Because the crowd, and we're quoting the New York Times as we say this, is, quote, sophisticated and vaccinated. Now, we don't know about the vaccinated because they didn't have to prove it. And again, if the numbers are right, a lot of them weren't vaccinated, maybe more than half. But that's not what she was saying. The emphasis here, the medically significant word, is sophisticated. Right now, the Biden administration is forcing unvaccinated people to obey every requirement that vaccinated people have to follow. It's the sophisticated crowds that are exempt from the rules. Vaccines have nothing to do with it. The question is one of sophistication. You should also know that the sophisticated in this country, the King Farouks who walk among us, towering above the rest, are also exempt from having to pay their taxes, exempt from having their police defunded, exempt from having, say, Catholic charities move penniless immigrants into their neighborhoods in the new Section 8 housing they're building on your street. They don't have to deal with any of that because they're sophisticated. It's nice to be sophisticated. You know what, though? It's definitely bad to be unsophisticated, because if you're unsophisticated, CNN will not come to your defense. Its anchors will not defend you when you ignore the rules. Instead, when you're unsophisticated, they will devote hours of coverage to mocking and deriding you, as they did here.
You think this is going to be a super spreader event?
I'm very concerned. The slogan this year for Sturgis is we're spreading our wings, but I'm concerned they're going to be spreading a lot more than just their wings.
Few attendees wore masks last year, and that's likely to be the case again this year.
Well, this year, Sturgis rally attendees are proving they didn't learn anything from last year, drawing an even bigger crowd amid a major surge in cases caused by the Delta variant and the unvaccinated.
The annual event kicked off over the weekend with packed bars, rock concerts, and barely any masks.
You think they'd learn, but nope.
You'd think they'd learn. Can you imagine riding a motorcycle outside with no mask on? Reckless freaks killing the rest of us. You'd think they'd learn, but nope. That's the judgment of Dr. Don Lemon. But again, since this is, in the end, this is a news program, we should remind you that there was actually no COVID outbreak at Sturgis last year, but somehow no one has told cable news. They're completely convinced it was a super spreader event. Go to CNN's website right now, and you will find a very lengthy piece with this headline, and we're quoting, South Dakota's Sturgis motorcycle rally, a cautionary tale in the age of COVID-19. A cautionary tale. Cautioning against what? Believing the dummies at CNN? In the piece, CNN reports with horror that there are virtually no TikTok stars this year at Sturgis. They're all in Martha's Vineyard. Oprah's never even been to Sturgis. Instead, according to CNN, Sturgis involves, and we're quoting now, drag races, rock concerts, pub crawls, tattoo contests, and processions of Harley-Davidsons through the Black Hills mountain range. Whoa. Whoa. You know what that means, right? Public health disaster. Or, again, in the words of CNN, the Sturgis rally had many characteristics of a super-spreading event. Large crowds, high intensity of contact between people, potential for highly infectious individuals traveling from hotspots and events in poorly ventilated indoor environments. Not at all like what they're doing under the tent in Martha's Vineyard with the TikTok kids. Turns out they're not sophisticated. They're super spreaders. And in this country, really, you're one or the other. That's your choice. Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here.
I'm a super spreader.
I'm looking, you know, I think I have to. I think I have to look to get myself busted. Fined, at least, if they'll, and I doubt they'll, they know what I'm up to now. They won't take the bait, but I'm going to try. Let's see. Yeah, nothing new too much in Facebook world. We've gotten some pretty funny stuff out of there the last few days, though. I had a couple things bookmarked, though, I wanted to get into. Oh, here's one. Okay. I got to stop this. This is a bunch of, as we know, Cuomo, Andrew, Rape Hound, is finally retiring, stepping down, because he was going to be impeached, and there's all kinds of charges. Now, a lot of people think that he's going to be the one they throw to the wolves, and publicly, yes, but, I mean, if they killed, what's the name of the millionaire guy now? Crap, that's what I get for getting stoned while I'm doing a show. Epstein's Island. If they really killed him, I could understand, because he had way too much info. It was dangerous. But these guys are all part of the same crew. Now, they can't just keep tossing them all aside. His public life may be over. We'll have to see what happens. But they get sent to, like, Pedophile Island or the underground city they all live in and stuff, and he's just not allowed to be in public anymore if they get killed. And it may be that way for Epstein, too. Who knows? Or they're just cloned and popped. And maybe it's the clones that are murdered, right? That would make sense to me as well. But this is a whole bunch of Hollywood celebrities just, and they're all Jewish or part Jewish, swooning over Cuomo. Reshare the audio one more time here. Oh, wait a minute.
Governor Cuomo.
Do you think that you are...
Let's go back to that, because...
My celebrity crush right now, you, Governor Cuomo.
Her celebrity crush.
Do you think that you are an attractive person now because you're single and ready to mingle? Do you really think you are some desirable single person?
You are well-liked among the ladies, people knowing that you're single and they think you're good-looking.
Like the author of this op-ed entitled, Help! I think I'm in love with Andrew Cuomo.
I called your brother Chris. He also said that, you know, now that you're the love gov, you've kind of transcended politics, and now you're just part of really more, you know, you're more of like a national sex symbol.
I heard, though, that you had a crush on our boyfriend,
Jimmy
Andrew
Fallon,
Cuomo.
Chelsea Handler, dude, all Jewish.
Everyone does, right? I think he's fantastic.
It's okay. These feelings are perfectly natural. Many Americans experience moments of being at least Andrew curious, if not fully, Cuomo-sexual.
Trevor... You call yourself a Cuomo-sexual, and I agree with you. I feel like I'm a Cuomo-sexual, too.
Some people are calling themselves Cuomo-sexuals.
And there's a group of women who came out, and they said, we're falling in love with Cuomo.
Getting ready for my boyfriend to come on TV. Ooh, we wake up together every single morning. Me and Andrew Cuomo. Oh, there he is.
Wasted.
Could Andrew Cuomo be any hotter?
She's drunk.
So that's what I'm doing in quarantine. It's just me and Andrew Cuomo, just
Chelsea
him telling
Hammer.
Me what to do. And I like it.
And I said, well, yeah, everyone should be a Cuomo sexual in that way.
Everyone should be a Cuomo sexual. According to the Jewish celebs. Wow. Wow. But I like, even just before I came on tonight, I got friends to let's hear it for all the Facebook doctors who think they're smarter than the government and scientists and all this stuff. So I popped up that video of dude from Alberta. And I said, take a look at this, and then tell me if you want to rephrase anything you just said. You know, like. Just look at that. And then another guy chimes in trying to make fun of people like me. I'm like, once again, why don't you take a look and show me any non-government sponsored doctor who's going to tell you that they have isolated the COVID virus? They haven't.
Bookmarks, that's right. That's where I was into. Yeah, my porn on there. Oh, the banker. I love this. This is Bill Nighy. And very famous for playing a vampire on the Underworld movies. He was Victor. He was fantastic. And he is incredible in this video. Now, this is called The Banker. It's about the Robin Hood tax. This is something that should have been implemented a long time ago. This is February 9th, 2010. That's when I started telling everybody about this stuff, too. I started sharing this stuff on my, I think that's around the year I got my YouTube channel. And I started talking about this stuff. So this is Bill Nighy from the Underworld movies and many others. That's where I know him from. Just doing an impeccable job of playing a bank executive.
Have you heard this idea about the Robin Hood banker's tax?
Yes. It's a sweet little idea, taxing the banks to help the poor. But I don't think it'll work. It's very complicated and would be very tough on the banking sector.
Which has just been given billions of pounds of taxpayers' money to keep it going.
Well, yeah, of course.
And is still paying itself billions of pounds in bonuses.
Yes.
So the tax is a charge on all bank transactions that don't include members of the public. Bonds, derivatives, currency, speculative stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. Very complex.
So the bankers would give how much from each deal they do? 25%?
Well, no, not that much.
10%?
No.
5%?
No, not 5.
More or less?
Slightly less.
What, 1%?
Not quite.
Half of 1%?
No.
A tenth of a percent?
No.
Half of that? They give around 0.05% of every deal.
Yeah, that's about right.
And sometimes it'd be even less. That doesn't sound like a lot to most people.
No. I can see that.
And how much would it raise to help people at home and abroad?
Oh, a fair amount, I believe.
About £1 million a year?
No, more than that.
£100 million?
More.
£500 million?
£1 billion
a year?
No, it's slightly more than that, I'm told.
£10 billion?
More.
£50 billion?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
In fact, I believe it's likely to be more than £100 billion. Could be double that. Could be more than double.
Possibly.
Right. So let me get this clear. A tiny tax on the banks could raise billions of pounds every year to help save lives in the poorest countries, fund crucial action against climate change around the world, and help avoid cuts to crucial public services in this country.
Gosh. Well, yeah. That is about the, sum of it. I don't know. Perhaps it's quite a good idea.
Genius. Brilliant. And why is this not out there? Because they don't want it out there. They've never wanted to help us, right? We know that. The people that already tune in know that. We need to figure out a way to get the people who aren't tuning in tuned in because they think they're woke. And that's a big problem. Let's see, what did I have else up here? And it's going to be like this for a little while, guys, because I'm back and forth on the quitting smoking. I was good for like 2.5 months. Then I had a little breakdown and was smoking for 2 weeks. Went a couple days, had a couple smokes today. Tomorrow I'm going to try again. I'm never going to stop trying. But just so much going on with me personally. It's just unreal, the obstacles I'm being made to go through in every facet of my life. It's insane. DeSantis hits back at Biden. Yeah, I think that was a good one. So let's go there. Yeah. And I will have to pull that back. Let's go. Volume. So this is Governor Ron DeSantis, and just talking common sense that you would expect and want to hear from your local leaders.
Why don't you do your job Why don't you get this border secure? And until you do that, I don't want to hear a blip about COVID from you. Thank you.
This is my man.
Okay, now this is the Dan Bongino show, a clip from his show, obviously.
Ron the Skywalker strikes again. Nice. That was the full lightsaber. Lightsaber is out and ready to rock and roll. Here's DeSantis taking it to Joe Biden. This just came in. Just came in. Breaking news. Taking it to Joe Biden, who bizarrely can't control the southern border. And instead of wasting his, instead of spending his time trying to fix the southern border, wastes his time attacking Ron DeSantis. Play DeSantis.
I just want to say something quickly. Joe Biden is taken to himself to try to single out Florida over COVID. This is a guy who ran for president saying he was going to, quote, shut down the virus. And what has he done? He's imported more virus from around the world by having a wide open southern border. You have hundreds of thousands of people pouring across every month. And it's not just from Mexico. In fact, it's rarely from Mexico. You have over 100 different countries where people are pouring through. Not only are they letting them through, they're then farming them out all across our communities across this country, putting them on planes, putting them on buses. Do you think they're being worried about COVID for that? Of course not. So he's facilitating. Who knows what new variants are out there? But I can tell you, whatever variants are around the world, they're coming across that southern border. And so he's not shutting down the virus. He's helping to facilitate it in our country. And what is his big solution? What is he so upset about Florida? His solution is he wants to have the government force kindergartners to wear masks in school. He doesn't believe the parents should have a say in that. He thinks that should be a decision for the government. Well, I can tell you in Florida, the parents are going to be the ones in charge of that decision. And one of the major medical people in his administration just recently told parents that they should be wearing masks at home when they're around their own children. This is insane. Joe Biden also believes that vaccination should be mandated by force of government and that you should have to show vaccination status to be able to participate in society. Now, Florida, we're very proud of our seniors first strategy. You look at the mortality in nursing homes among seniors, it's declined dramatically. But we said from the beginning, we're going to make it available for all, but we're not going to mandate it on anybody. That's ultimately an individual's choice to be able to do it. Biden, he rejects science because he denies the fact that people that recover from COVID have long-lasting immunity. And that's been proven time and time again, and the data is very clear. So his vision is, just like in New York City, restaurants should ban young kids from being able to go in because they're not eligible for vaccination, and law-abiding citizens have to produce proof of their medical records just to go to the gym or attend an event or just to participate in everyday society. He wants that, but yet if you want to vote, he thinks it's too much of a burden to show a picture ID when you're voting. So no voter ID, but have to show your medical papers just to be able to.
How much sense does that make?
Give me a break. And so I think the question is we can either have a free society or we can have a biomedical security state. And I can tell you, Florida, we're a free state. People are going to be free to choose to make their own decisions about themselves, about their families, about their kids' education, and about putting food on the table. And Joe Biden suggests that if you don't do lockdown policies, then you should, quote, get out of the way. But let me tell you this. If you're coming after the rights of parents in Florida, I'm standing in your way. I'm not going to let you get away with it.
Biden is probably the least intimidating president in history of U.S. presidency. Even when he was vice president, there was nothing intimidating about him. Even when he first got into office, he's been a buffoon the entire time.
If you're trying to deny kids a proper in-person education, I'm going to stand in your way, and I'm going to stand up for the kids in Florida. If you're trying to restrict people, impose mandates, if you're trying to ruin their jobs and their livelihoods and their small business, if you are trying to lock people down, I am standing in your way, and I'm standing for the people of Florida. So why don't you do your job? Why don't you get this border secure? And until you do that, I don't want to hear a blip about COVID from you. Thank you.
America's best governor right there. Yeah, she...
Like, boom. Why isn't everybody saying this? Well, this dude obviously got in under the radar and they didn't think they had to bribe him. They probably just thought he would go along and get along. Well, guess what? But he's one of the only, I think Texas is still on the fence. There's a lot of it is still open, but some of them are trying to be tyrants. I don't know. I do want to take a quick look here because I had found a clip of all the Democrats speaking completely differently about the way they feel. Oh, here it is. About the vaccine. When Trump would have been the hero of the vaccine, this is what they had to say. Oh, after this quick beer ad for my favorite beer. Mill Street or
skeptical again. American public about taking the vaccine, and they should be.
We can't trust the president and take his word and take a vaccine that might cause harm to us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot?
We will need to have access to the vaccine results so we can make our independent assessment to make sure that Donald Trump's fingerprints are not on it.
You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
Is the vaccine safe? Frankly, I'm not going to trust the federal government's opinion. And I wouldn't recommend to New Yorkers based on the federal government's opinion.
And that's the Love Gov saying that.
Question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency.
Would you trust that vaccine?
There's very little that we can trust that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth.
We cannot take for granted this process will be free of political influence.
I don't trust the president, and I don't trust the FDA.
If Donald Trump can't give answers and the administration can't give answers to these three questions, the American people should not have confidence.
You're going to say to the American people now, here's a vaccine, it was new, it was done quickly, but trust this federal administration and their health administration that it's safe?
I will say that I would not trust Donald Trump.
Hey, how confident are you in the approval process of the FDA right now?
How confident am I? I'm not that confident.
Yes, I would be hesitant, but I'm going to ask a lot of questions.
You're going to need someone other than this FDA and this CDC saying it's safe.
You got to make all of it available to other experts across the nation so they can look and see. So there's a consensus this is a safe vaccine.
What I'm worried about is that there's some sort of October surprise and that there is a pressure put on the decision makers here to announce a vaccine in October of 2020.
We're going to put together our own group of doctors and medical experts to review the vaccine and the efficacy and the protocol. And if they say it's safe, then I'll go to the people of New York and I will say it's safe.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
Skeptical America.
Like, what the hell, right? We're in bizarro world. This is what these assholes were saying just before the election. Then the instant they got, there was those 3 weird days, or maybe it was a couple of weeks, or maybe it was a couple of months. I can't even remember now. Things are going by so fast. And that's the way they, they like it. Because, damn, they were saying, no, we need to listen to experts. Now they're shutting down the experts. It would have to be someone other than this FDA and this CDC. Did they actually replace? I want to know. Did they replace all the people from the FDA and the CDC, or are they the same people that were there when Trump was in office? Was there a big shift? And because if not, then what the hell? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there's a lot. come to Rumble and check this stuff out. The one thing I don't like about it is it's like the videos, unless this has recently changed, they weren't HD. Oh, okay, now they finally got it so you can change the quality. Great. For the longest time, you couldn't. And you were just stuck with like a 360 or 480. Fantastic. Or, hell, let's take a look on mine. Maybe that's just mine they do that with. This was Sean Maher from Svengali, and he's a 32nd degree Freemason. They put an ad on. What the hell?
UFOs. Ghosts.
Actually, I guess it's a good thing I just checked it. That's good. And they do have that because when my computer got dumped, I lost this video intro. Let me turn this volume down a little bit.
Ancient civilizations. The supernatural.
Now, this should be 1080 if they're going to let it play. There we go.
We may never know the truth about what's really going on. But it sure is fun to speculate. This is conspiracy.
All right, so I'm digging it. Yeah, so now go check out Rumble, guys. And now I think I'll start putting, I barely have anything on here. I'm going to start putting more on there. They finally got it set up so you can go 1080p on here. Sweet. Because I need that intro. Like I said, it was everything was gone. And even these the videos I used to make this intro were gone. I found that blue one, the skull that's up on screen now. But I got to try to find the rest. Nice. Ooh, look at that. I even have 4 subscribers with me. Awesome. 1 view. Nice. Nice. See, I've been doing this for 10 years. Like, statistically, I should have at least on my YouTube, I should have like upwards of a couple thousand on each video by now, statistically, after 10 years. No. Used to. They reset a lot, took down the ones that did have that. Okay, so what did I have next? We did that, did debate night. You got to go to the bad lip reading. I tell you, I'm so tempted to just spend the rest of the time on the bad lip reading site because that's friggin' hilarious. Alberta's top doctor defends plan to lift COVID restrictions after. That's another thing. I posted on Facebook about this dude, how they're dropping everything because of this dude's court case. Oh, well, no, according to their fact checkers, that's fake news. One had nothing to do with the other. They just randomly decided to do that. Come on. The chick realized what was... She wrapped her brain around it that she... Her name is... She's legally responsible. People that have lost their businesses or their lives, family members, over this can hold her legally responsible in court. She's backpedaling. She's like, okay, wait. No, I'm not going down. That's why... All the prime ministers and not prime ministers. Geez, see, I'm so into American politics lately that I'm forgetting what we call our own premiers. They all made it so that they're not responsible for anything that happens because of this lockdown. It's all on the doctors. So any doctor who may be listening to this and laughing at me, wrap your little brain around that for a minute. There's this movie now. Okay, it does have stuff to do with Flat Earth, but ignore that stuff. I'm not going to play it now, obvious, but it's called The Lost History of Earth. The real name is Lost History of Flat Earth, but there is some stuff in there that'll make you scratch your brain because there's some stuff that can't be debunked, and it's not about the shape of the Earth or anything. It's just about a cataclysm that may have happened a lot sooner than we realized that was hidden, a great reset, if you will. And it's 5 hours long. Grab some popcorn, smoke a doobie, crack a beer, and watch that. Suspend your disbelief and watch that son of a bitch, because damn. Actually, okay, I know what I want to do now. I'm going to play a song that Mona turned me on to. Thank you, Sunshine, for turning me on to this tune. The lyrics are just friggin' phenomenal. The video, I'm going to post the video in the chat room here, and it'll be playing on twitch.tv, Factor Theory Live. And this is Billy Falcon, Never Surrender. Now, first I got to play this stupid ad, and they're not going to let me skip it until it does. But the singer's a Christian dude, and just the song is wow. Yeah, it's wow. That damn good. Called Never Surrender, and no, it's not the Corey Hart one. I better reshare the audio to be safe here. I play this for my Christian friends who act like I'm nuts. The mask-wearing Christians.
Alive and well, I'm wide awake. Won't take your brand, I'm not your slave. You serve your God, Lord of the flies. I pity you and you mean mine. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Your bloody mouth unsatisfied. God sees the trap you set for me. He'll not be mocked, I will be free. We will not bend. How dare you touch what God gave? We'll never give and never give up, never back down, never surrender, never surrender. Your fear will not make me behave. I won't march in your masked parade. Your hollow threats won't shut me up. I won't bow down, enough's enough. You say you'll give us what we need, as if you own the air we breathe. Stand up 100 million strong. Thought we'd lie down, well you thought wrong. We will not bend. We will not break. How dare you touch what God gave? Never surrender, never surrender. Oh, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Just keep going, keep on going. Jesus with me every step. Just keep going, keep on going. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Just keep going, keep on going. Jesus closer than my breath. Just keep going, keep on going. We will not bend, we will not break. How dare you touch what God gave? We'll never give and never give up, never back down. We'll never give and never give up, never back down. We'll never give and never give up, never back down. Never surrender.
Magic. That song is friggin' magic. Like, I get chills every time I listen to it, man. Every friggin' time. Oh. What do I want to pop on here next? All right. This will get us close to the end of it. This is Morgan Freeman politely putting Don Lemon in his place. This is from a month ago.
Scientists at the National Institute of Dental Research have invented a powerful sour liquid that can regrow teeth and gums almost overnight.
Don Lemon is the CNN anchor who thinks that America hates black people. And America doesn't hate black people, and we fought a civil war to end slavery. We had a black president. Most countries in Europe that are way older than us never had black prime ministers. And we've done things over the years to heal the legacy of racism, and that is not to say that things are perfect, but that dream that that MLK guy wanted about the arc of justice bending towards more equality, it's kind of here, and we don't have laws that discriminate, although the leftists are actually instituting some of those laws. But anyway, Lemon is an interesting character because he is race baiting in the worst possible way while telling you that America hates black people and hates gay black people specifically. He, a gay black man, is making around $4 million at CNN to go on every night and pontificate and get the rest of you ginned up about racism. Now, again, this gets to this thing about how much time should we focus on MSNBC and CNN and Washington Post and New York Times, because they're all sort of failing at some level. But I do think it's important to call these people out and expose them for what they are. But in this video, I'm gonna let Lemon expose himself. So in 2014, this is only 7 years ago, he had a really interesting sit down with Morgan Freeman. And I want you to listen to this, not only Don, but really listen to what Morgan Freeman is saying about race. And then the second clip will really reference this thing that's happened in the last couple of days. So take a look.
But it's hard to, when you say that to some people, because they say, oh, there you go with a pull yourself up by the bootstraps thing, and, you know, you're just being respectable. Not everybody can do that.
Well, everybody can. Everybody doesn't. Courage. Courage is the key to life itself. There are a lot of people who are born in situations where they say, well, I'll never get out of this. So they won't. I say to people who say, well, I would like to have done so and so and so. So, well, you could have done it. So, well, I couldn't get out of here. Man, the bus runs every day.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Everybody can. Yeah, that's right, Morgan Freeman. And by the way, Don Lemon is sort of acting as the devil's advocate in the question. He's not even saying that he agrees that people can't lift themselves up by the bootstrap. And by the end, he's agreeing with Morgan Freeman, right? Like, that's pretty powerful stuff. But now, let's listen to what Don Lemon was saying to his colleagues about racism on CNN back in 2014.
I thought what you said was fascinating, because you called it bull when you said people can't, you know, pull themselves up. Do you think that race plays a part in wealth distribution, or either a mindset that you can't
today,
or cannot? Yeah.
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. I don't. You and I, we're proof. Why would race have anything to do with it? Put your mind to what you want to do and go for that. It's kind of like religion to me. It's a good excuse for not getting there.
Yeah. You know, I said, and it's probably get me in trouble, but I said to some of my colleagues recently, I know that it's an issue. But it seems like every single day on television I'm talking about race, and it's because of the news cycle, it's in the news. But sometimes I get so tired of talking about it, I wanna just go, this is over, can we move on?
And if you talk about it, it exists.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like it exists and we refuse to talk about it, but making it a bigger issue than it needs to be is the problem we have.
Man, Morgan Freeman, that's it right there, making it the bigger issue, endlessly talking about it. And Lemon is saying 7 years ago, I'm sick of talking about this. And in the previous clip, Morgan saying to him, we're proof that you, as a black man, can do anything in America, right? So you're actually, Lemon, you're delegitimizing your own existence as a black man, as a gay man, whatever it is. Like, it's actually insane. The quote there, Lemon, sometimes I get so tired of talking about it, I want to just go, this is over, can we move on? So let me understand this. In 2014, Don Lemon is saying that racism is over, can we just move on? And 7 years later, he's saying America doesn't like black men, or particularly gay black men, and that is complete nonsense. You, Don Lemon, and your silly little friends at CNN are keeping racism on life support, which is exactly what Morgan Freeman is saying there. You can always talk about it, and if you always talk about it, you will always keep it going. And now, because of that scary critical race theory thing that you think none of us can define, even though we define it all the time, you guys are the ones that are making America more racist. Please somebody show me someone on the right. I don't mean some loser Twitter troll with a green frog avatar. I'm talking about show me someone mainstream on the right, a senator, a congressman, someone who is racist and is trying to put racism into the system and wants there to be different laws for black people or doesn't want black people to succeed. Let's not forget, Congressional Black Caucus sitting there like this as Donald Trump during the State of the Union said that we had all-time low black unemployment. And I thought that would be something they were for, but they decided they were less for that rather than mostly they were just against Orange Man. So, you know, look, we can all change, right? I've changed. We can all evolve. We can all get new information and look at the world in a different way. But the way that Don Lemon is evolving is not evolution, it's devolution, right? He's devolving in the thinking, right? Racism is over. I want to tell my friends and my colleagues, you know, we shouldn't talk about this anymore. Let's move on. And now it's, we got to talk about it endlessly all the time. It's never enough. And if I'm not mistaken, he just wrote a book about it too.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption.